As promised, from Scalzo and Brust and the Bucks Radio Network, a man who can answer my question about belly aching at officials. Not because he would have ever done it in his playing career, of course. It is our buddy Ben Brust. Ben, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. So I have a question for you guys because it's on par with what you guys have been talking about. I was walking into the office today, and there was somebody that I had never, you know, talked to in my life, and it's a nice day out. So I said, hey, how's it going? And she had said, all right, in a very, you know, not great tone.
Ooh, kind of like
down. Am I supposed to follow up there?
Yes.
Or just keep it moving?
No, you follow up. If you think that there's something wrong or... Yeah, because if
you... I don't know this person, though.
I understand, but if... They decide to open up to you after you open up and ask a question, and you felt like it was kind of a mopey, all right, then you need to go. Now, if she's like, oh, all right, then you keep moving on. But if it's a,
you're right,
all right, then you want to dig in
now,
and find out why she's just doing all right.
Yeah.
And sit down and, you know, take a little time to discuss.
I would get playful with it. I'd say, you sound all right. And kind of leave it open.
Well, that's
no,
creepy. That's creepy.
I had the world's easiest thing. It was beautiful outside. All right, what's wrong? We got the sun shining today, right? And then she opens up.
Now, you don't want to be pushy.
Huh.
You don't want to be pushy about it. You want to put the ball in her court.
Hey, Ben,
all
how's
right,
this going
well,
for
again,
you so far?
Just all right, Jason.
So what did you end up doing? You didn't do anything. You just walked in, probably put your head down and moved forward.
No, I just thought about what you guys were talking about as I was driving into work, man. I was like, should I have followed up? I just, like, I didn't know if I did the right thing or if I shouldn't have.
I don't think you did the right thing.
All right, next time.
No. You did the wrong thing.
Next time I'll ask. Well, why just all right?
Just like the Bucks did the wrong thing. Ben, how did they give up 43 in the fourth quarter?
I think that they were absolutely gassed and exerted all their energy in the first three quarters. This is the way that I've tried to put it in my brain, and I want to see what you think of this. They went into default mode on the offensive end because they went so hard for three quarters, and I thought they should. They left so many things on the table in the first three quarters. Easy layups, open shots. I mean, it's been the consistent theme for this team, not being able to knock down their open looks. The default is, all right, Giannis, take the ball, go do something. Jrue Holiday, come off a ball screen and get the switch with Al Horford or Daniel Theis or this guy and make a play. And he ended up settling for some mid-range jump shots, and both of those guys were inefficient last night. I equate it almost to Aaron Rodgers defaulting to Davante Adams.
Wow.
Where, like, yeah, it just felt as if, like, you know, late in the game, it was okay, you know, it's crunch time. Just do it. Do what you always do, and you didn't trust it. Like, this team has got to get ball movement going. They got to get it moving side to side. It's too stagnant. Giannis has been at his best when he's been in transition and when he's able to sort of, like, he made a juke cut. It was almost like he was running back going down the lane, and he juked right around Al Horford a couple times. I'm like, if you get Giannis in transition not thinking, he's just unstoppable. And I think they got in the half court, and they were tired. There were a couple times I looked over, and Giannis was in the left corner with his hands on his knees on offense. And that, you know, that's the Coach Budenholzer way, is getting it done defensively. And this team exerted so much energy defensively through the first three quarters that I just don't think they had a lot left in the tank. Now, that being said, Giannis continues to find a different motor and a different level of play and competitive drive that I've ever seen in my life. But this isn't over. I mean, it still is 2-2. But that being said, Justin Garcia, Dave Kane, and I, we were talking to each other in the break before the start of the fourth quarter. It was 80-70, and then Derek White hit a three. Nobody scored in the last minute of the third quarter. It was 80-73. And you're thinking to yourselves, you're up seven without Chris Middleton and a chance at home to go up 3-1. Here is your opportunity. And they did not play well. They did not execute. Jason Tatum got going on George Hill. I think Wes Matthews getting in foul trouble had a lot to do with that. It's going to be interesting. There's still stuff that Coach Bud can do. Bobby Portis only played 15 minutes. I think he's got to be worked in there because he's just too good offensively. Even if he gives up a little bit defensively with this matchup, you need more threats. They don't have enough threats on offense outside of Giannis and Drew. But Al Horford, you get, like, again, you tip your cap. Like Giannis said, like Bud said, they made plays and our guys defaulted to the Giannis, go do it, and Drew, go do it.
Well, obviously there's one fewer person for them to have go do it, and you're talking about wanting Bobby Portis more because of his, what he would bring offensively. Look, I'm not looking for excuses. I'm looking for reality here. How much did they miss Chris Middleton? Like, I do feel like after they closed out the Bulls and then got off to a 2-1 lead in this series, like, there was at least a portion of fans who were like, see, it's like 7-0 without Davante Adams. They don't really need Chris. They'll be fine. How much did they miss him yesterday? Because they couldn't put the ball in the ocean in the fourth quarter while they were giving up 43 points.
Well, they miss him a ton. At the end of the day, look, Drew Holiday has struggled because Boston's size and length has affected him. Chris Middleton's a 6'8 long shot creator, and they don't have a shot creator right now. And that's really what's hurt him. Chris is a guy where you can call a timeout, set up a play, get him the ball isolated, and he'll be able to make a play because, look, Giannis's jump shot is just not there in the playoffs like it was at times in the regular season. So your two creators, the Bucks were only scoring. They had an 8-minute drought of no field goals, and they were only scoring at the free throw line. And then when they did score, it was Brooke Lopez with a dunk, Giannis with a dunk. They got no outside shooting, and so Boston was able to make it tough on Drew and Giannis to close driving lines. You give it to Chris; Chris can make a play. That's what he's done for the Bucks. He's really done it a lot in the past against Boston. The same way that Al Horford loves playing the Bucks, Chris Middleton has loved playing Boston. So there's no doubt that they miss Chris Middleton. Like there just isn't. Yes, it's great that they were able to get to 2-1. But this team is shooting 29% from three in this series. 29%.
It's about what you shot,
right? Last
year
they won the finals. What was that?
Is that about what you shot back in the day, 29, or were you better than that?
Add 10%, then you're getting there. Okay. And that's the thing. This team's a better shooting team than that. But last year they won the finals only shooting 32%. So I'm not asking for much here. I'm asking, you know, get 33% for the series, and I think you can win this thing. That's one out of every three. And this team, look, with Giannis, they built this team to have shooters all around him. Grayson, Pat, Bobby, Brooke, everyone has the ability to shoot the three, and they've shot it way better than they have all year long. But come playoffs, it's kind of been the bugaboo for Coach Bud's teams, and I think it's a little bit due in part the focus defensively and not having the legs offensively.
The bugaboo.
You mentioned Grayson Allen. Obviously, he had some really big games earlier in the postseason. How much of a concern is his level of play of late?
I think it's been pretty evident that Boston's trying to attack him defensively. I don't think Grayson's a bad defender, but it just everything goes a level up in the playoffs, and you have to exploit everything that you can. I thought that Jason Tatum exploited George Hill. They targeted George Hill, not because George Hill's a bad player. I know a lot of people have been doing the, why not Javon Carter? Why George Hill? Well, George is long. He's athletic. Like, he's someone that Bud trusts. And Bud trusts defense and guys that he knows he can count on. But at the end of the day, when you have George out there, he is the weaker link between anyone that was out there for Jason Tatum. So they tried to get switches on George, and he executed. And Marcus Smart and Al Horford and Jason Tatum combined for 36 of those 46 points in the fourth quarter. And so they out-executed the Bucks. It ain't over. But they need Grayson to be able to just be on the floor for not at probably 25-plus, but when he's out there, he's got to be effective offensively because they're giving up something defensively. So I'm not hitting the panic button because, you know, you're still 2-2, but gosh, that was a huge missed opportunity.
Better start hitting the panic button. You got three games left. When are you going to hit the panic button?
Why would you hit the panic button?
Because you need to
get 0-2. You went 0-2 down to the Nets. Yep. You went 0-2 down to the Suns last year. This is how the team won the world championship. So it's in their foundation. It's in their DNA. Listening to Giannis at the press conference, if Giannis was freaking out, I'd be freaking out. But he He is cool as a cucumber. It's 2-2. They've already won at Boston this series. They can do it again. And even if they don't, you win game six, game seven, anything can happen. So I'm not hitting the panic button. You have Giannis Antetokounmpo, who always figures it out. And a closeout game in the NBA Finals put up 50.
All right, I feel better now. Feeling better.
Because it's 2-2, and you have to regress to the mean at some point. You can't just shoot 28% from three the entire series.
Do you know what that means? Are you a regress to the mean? You know the statement? But from a mathematical standpoint,
the average.
Mode, yes, median. What is it, Jason? You got the mean, yes. The median, the mode.
And the mode, yes. And to help Ben here, they're shooting below what you're expecting, so they don't want to regress anymore. They actually need to go up to the mean at the rate they're going.
So what I've learned is you can regress up and down. You'll just regress closer to what your average is.
Yeah, you've gotten so smart. Yeah. Look at you.
So, can I pull a Tauschie here?
Yes, of course you can.
Absolutely.
I got something for you guys.
Yeah.
I know you guys talk a lot about referees here on this show because you have the world's greatest Dane County umpire in Jesse Nelson. I was appalled. A couple weekends ago over Easter, or the weekend after Easter, I went to go to watch my brother Jonathan's kid play soccer. And in the middle of a game, a referee, and this is fourth grade soccer, the parents were yelling at the ref about a call. The ref cited a ref shortage at the parents. He's like, "There's already a ref shortage. Take it easy on us." Mid game, and then at halftime, he came over to the parents and tried incentivizing the parents to get their kids in a soccer refereeing school. And I was just fascinated by the whole thing because I was like, who knew that Jesse Nelson was right? This ref shortage is really making everybody go crazy.
I love it. I think he's being an advocate. He's out there. You want your kids playing sports? You need to have people officiating, umping, et cetera, et cetera. I think he's, it's a little guilty-ish. I mean, he's kind of playing the guilt card
guilt
on
trip.
You a little bit.
Yeah, guilt trip.
That's what we ask.
Yeah, but don't you like that play? If you're
a
referee, you're getting yelled at?
Total smart play.
These parents are a little crazy. Like, I love that play by that guy. I was like, I respect this guy. He's like, get off my back. I'm reffing right now on a muddy, cold, 40-degree day, and you guys are getting after me? Like, you know, just enjoy the Saturday.
I thought it was amazing. I wouldn't make the move during, like, while the action's going on. I wouldn't turn around and engage in that conversation. But halftime, post-game, you want to say, yeah, if you guys are a little concerned about the state of officiating, there's plenty of openings right now. Go ahead and check out this website.
Amen.
Sign up right now.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse, he did it. Like, he called the foul. He set the soccer ball down and then, like, blew his whistle. And as he was running away, he sort of did it like as play was continuing. So I thought that was heady. He didn't engage and like start a verbal war with the parents. He kind of did it so the play had to resume. And so that guy has clearly been through the ringer of reffing. And I was upset of the century. My brother was sitting down and didn't say a word the entire game.
Wow.
All he did was yell at my games in college.
Yeah, I was
going to
say,
now he wants to act like a mature father?
He used everything up during your Final Four run. Like, that was – I mean, he doesn't have any left in the reserve tanks. That's empty.
Hey, Benny, can you stick around and talk a little more officiating? Because I do want to talk about all the whining that I see from NBA players. You got time?
Absolutely, and I have another idea I want to run by you guys from an officiating standpoint. I'm the NBA.
Why don't you tease us out? Benny, tease us out.
What do you think? Have a whole crew run the entire seven-game series or rotate like we currently have it? We'll talk about that next on Wildy and Tausch.
Continuing with our buddy Ben Brust from the Bucks Radio Network and Scalzo and Brust right here on ESPN Wisconsin. 4 to 6 each weekday. All right, Benny, before we get to my belly aching about belly achers, what's your new idea to either improve or at least change the officiating in the postseason?
So I think there needs to be a crew that refs the entire series. And you can look at what each ref's record is refing the respective teams. Because there was a stat yesterday. Scott Foster, who's one of the referees, is 2-10 reffing Boston and 2-9-1 against the spread for Boston. So that doesn't bode well for Boston. Obviously, the Bucks lost and helped the Celtics record with Scott Foster. My point being is,
hey, Benny,
you can take a look.
Can I jump in quick? I think I like where you're heading with this, and it never makes any sense. Like in the NFL, they try to assemble all-star crews. They haven't communicated. They haven't worked together. I think we do this like jury duty, like where you're doing like that. You ever see that movie Runaway Jury? You get to have some coaches sit up there and say, all right, Foster, he's out. All right, Lenny's in. Because you can look at all those things and you have a panel that will decipher who, and then those are your three refs as agreed upon. You have some abstentions. You have, I'm going to veto this guy, blah, 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 and that's how you get to your group. Continue.
Hey, and you're kind of you're taking it to the next level, and that's the thing. Ideas always grow and evolve, and that's where I like it. Mine was just like take a look at the records of the referees. Who's ever 5-5 reffing Bucks games and 5-5 reffing Celtics games? That guy has not shown a bias towards the team from a record perspective. And again, there should be some sort of approval process. But like to think about what happened in Game 3 and how Boston and Milwaukee fans were irate about the results of how it was reffed, then to just change crews completely, all you want to know as a player is the expectation of the game and how it's going to be reffed.
Consistency.
And I think you can create some consistency if you have the same crew.
I'm with you. Benny, sign me up on the Brust plan. I'm in on this, but I do like the idea, just like that movie Runaway Jury or Of Mice and Men. I think it was Of Mice and Men. What was
12 Angry Men.
12 Angry Men.
Heard it both ways.
I think that is, you need to have some control and accountability for your selection of the refs. Yeah, I like it.
Boom. Benny, and he can definitely be the vice chairman because I need the ideation that Tom
And I also think there's an alternate juror. Let's say Scotty Foster has a real tough game. Hey, maybe his hammy's tight. Maybe, and we'll bring in old boy and see. So, you know, kind of fluctuate it a little bit so that you have a four-man crew and they kind of rotate around, but they're all communicating. They're talking. They're saying, boy, when Tatum does this, you got to look for when they're fighting over the screen, Horford might be throwing his hip, not letting
him
clear.
Good call. Because now the refs can watch film on two teams
and
not have to review film for their game they did and then go do a different game that can be played differently. Like the two, I went home and I watched the Warriors Grizzlies game. That game was played much different. And so, yeah, I think we're on the same page. Yeah. And now I want to help Jason.
Great idea. What an idea.
Benny, do the Celtics complain about non-foul calls more than any other NBA team, or is this just an NBA-wide epidemic?
It's probably more NBA-wide, but it feels like this because Giannis is a part of the Bucks, and so any team that the Bucks are going to play are going to do whatever they can. It's all gamesmanship.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's so much gamesmanship, and I've kind of enjoyed how Giannis has sort of approached the series. You know, he says he thrives on physicality. They double team him, and then they don't double team him, and then he picks up the charge early in Game 3, and then I thought he did a great job of adjusting and using his athleticism to pivot. And so the Celtics know that Giannis is an unstoppable force. So they are literally just trying everything they can, and if that means going to the ground and if it's a flop and it gets him a charge, they're going to do it. And I'm with you. I think that part of that is if you complain every time that you're not getting a foul, the referees are going to be like, all right, well, I probably got to keep looking even closer to see if that was a charge. Now they're looking extra because these players are consistently whining.
Crying.
And so
yes.
I look at it as gamesmanship because Giannis is so freaking good at what he does. They're trying whatever they can do to get an advantage.
Dude, he's Shaq. When Shaq said that 4 or 5 years ago, you kind of thought, and then it started making more and more sense. He is the modern-day Shaq. They don't know how to ref him. Nobody knows how to guard him.
I'm sure you went through this. You were probably naturally taller and just not necessarily bigger, but taller, stronger than some of the guys, unless you didn't develop early. But like, I hated when I played with a teammate who was just 6'2". In seventh grade and was more developed, and he would get fouls called on him because he was bigger. And that's where Boston's at. Like, Giannis is just bigger and stronger, and they'll take contact for one or two times, and then they'll be like, all right, I'm going to take the hit and go down. It's going to be a charge. And so that's the big thing for me is I just hate penalizing Giannis for him being stronger than everyone else on the floor and them not being able to match him physically and athletically.
All right, Benny, last thing for you from me. I was actually in the car listening to you as you were calling the game with Dave Kane, and you mentioned earlier with us about George Hill, and you talked about why Bud was playing George Hill ahead of Javon Carter. So you mentioned the idea of playing Bobby Portis more. What's one other thing that you think Bud has in his bag of tricks that he can do in these last three games if it goes to a seven-game series that he can do differently?
Well, that's a phenomenal question. I think what the Bucks pride themselves on is defense and what they've been giving up, and they've given it up all season long. They gave it up to the Bulls, and the Bulls didn't knock down shots, is that shot to Al Horford. With Giannis and Brooke out there, their tendency is to go to the rim because Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, as good as the guards are in Drew Holiday and Wes Matthews, I think might see them mix up some zone. They've ran some zone in the regular season, just trying to do different things to not let Al Horford get free, because the natural tendency is Giannis is going to try to come over and help side. Brooke is one of the best rim protectors, but Boston has made the extra pass and it's found Al Horford. And Ime Udoka even referenced in his post-game press conference that they know they can get Al Horford a shot, which I thought was bizarre to basically show your cards.
Yeah, I heard him say that. Yep.
Yeah, I was like, all right, well, guess what?
You don't think the Bucks know that, though?
I mean, they do. But here's the thing. One of the things that Coach Budenholzer's good at is everyone always he doesn't adjust. He may not always adjust mid-game, but he will recalibrate if something consistently isn't working. Mm. And that's how they ended up winning the NBA Finals last year. Is after Game 2 against the Suns, they moved Drew Holiday onto Chris Paul. And then when Chris Paul was shut down, they moved him to Devin Booker when Devin Booker was hot. They will adjust when there is time to figure some things out. And so I have full trust that they're going to do something mostly on the defensive end to stop Al Horford. And I think Bobby's got to be the lift. He was shooting after the game when the crowd left the arena. He was the key cog energy-wise. They're missing that energy.
Yes, especially at home. Bobby!
Yeah. I'm a big Bobby chant guy. I want to chant it on the radio. But I'm telling you, I think the Bobby momentum's coming.
We need it.
Bobby and stopping Al Horford. I trust Bud to figure that out.
All right, I need one-word answers on both, and you're out of here. Chris Middleton play any minutes in this series? Yes, no?
Yes.
I like that. I like that. Sound graph that, Nelson. And lastly, Bucks win this series? Yes, no.
No.
Wow.
Don't sound graph that.
I didn't hear that coming. Benny, we appreciate you, brother.
I'm a jinx. I'm trying to do this for my team right now.
I could expand on that Chris Middleton, because that's fascinating, but I promised one-word answer.
One-word answer.
Thanks, Benny.
That is our buddy
later,
Ben
boys.
Rust from the Bucks Radio Network. We'll kick off the 11 o'clock hour with another former player, but he's not a former player yet, becoming an announcer like Benny. We'll explain to kick off the 11 o'clock hour in 2 minutes. Stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.